Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, July 6, 2013, 28 Tammuz, 5773, Matot Maseh, Numbers 32 through 36:13, Second Haftarah of Affliction, Jeremiah 2:4 through 28, 3:4, and 4:1 through 2. Devar Torah, Chazak, Chazak, Venit Chazek, by Lisa Edwards. Here, in the week of the 4th of July, we come to the end of this year's reading of Bamidbar with a double portion, Matot Maseh. The fighting, rebellion, and violence that we've seen throughout Bamidbar find echoes in the American Revolutionary War, already underway when the Declaration of Independence was adopted on July 4, 1776. The birth of a nation seldom happens without violence, even when one believes, as the Israelites believed, as the early Americans believed, that God was on their side. In fact, more than a few Revolutionary War leaders compared their plight under King George to the plight of the Israelites when they were still slaves in Egypt. Last week, as we read Parashat Pinchas, we took note of the way God and Moses were perhaps trying to move the people toward a more human rule of law, albeit based on God-given laws. The plans for the future without Moses do not include random violence or anarchy, despite the ongoing preparations for battles and wars as they get ready to enter the Promised Land. Especially among the Israelites themselves, the end of Bamidbar brings two examples of the kind of reasoned discussion and strategic planning that Moses and God may have been training them for all along, and especially once the Israelites enter the Promised Land without Moses. In these concluding portions of the Book of Numbers, we find illustrations of the way plans can or should be alterable by mutual agreement. In Parashat Matot, we find the Israelites encamped on the steppes of Moab, on the east bank of the Jordan, cattle country so rich that 2.5 tribes who were cattlemen, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, asked to remain there rather than go into the land. They say, "It would be a favor to us if this land were given to your servants as a holding. Do not move us across the Jordan." Moses immediately suspects them. "Are your brothers to go to war while you stay here?" After some explanations and negotiations, Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh agree to be shock troops for the rest of the Israelites by entering into battle first, provided they can then return and dwell on the east side of the Jordan. Moses does not live to see the plan accomplished, but we can find the plan still firmly in place when we read beyond Torah and into the book of Joshua, the first book of the next section of the Hebrew Bible. The compromise serves the special interests of these tribes and presumably the greater good, though it is a radical departure from God's 40-year plan for all of the surviving generations of the 2.5 tribes to move into the land west of the Jordan. At the end of Maseh, the last portion of Bamidbar, we meet again the daughters of Zelophehad, who brought about important legislation in Parashat Pinchas. Whereas their earlier request to inherit from their father was approved by God when they first stepped forward to ask, this time their male relatives appeal the earlier decision, noting that if they, the daughters of Zelophehad, marry persons from another Israelite tribe, their share will be cut off from our ancestral portion. Thus our allotted portion will be diminished. Moses is not seen speaking to God this time, but he claims to be responding to the sisters Al Pi Adonai at the Eternal's bidding. Moses amends the new law, requiring women who inherit ancestral land to marry into a clan of their father's tribe, which limits the women's choice of spouses and keeps the property within the tribe. And the daughters of Zelophehad did as the Eternal had commanded Moses. The shock troop tribes who remain outside of the land and the daughters of Zelophehad both make compromises, presumably for the greater good of the community. Yet their stories, included in Torah in such detail, speak to the importance of their desire and ability to change norms and expectations, as well as their willingness to bend when persuasive needs and desires of others arise. that Moses allows and even aids in changing his earlier rulings and God's previous instructions adds to the long list of what we can learn from him and God about law, leadership, and life. The willingness of the 2.5 tribes to place their lives in danger for the sake of others and the amendments made in the laws of inheritance emphasize the need for lawmakers and decision makers to look at the rights of all citizens and not just the issues brought by lobbyists. All movements of liberation have discovered that the most effective and enduring changes are those that create justice for all members of society. Our U.S. founding fathers may not have realized that truth, but they set in place a constitution that allows for it. There seems little doubt that by joining together and speaking out, Mala, Noah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and the cattlemen shock troops from the other tribes brought change that otherwise would not have occurred. Also, these episodes demonstrate how an idea may require fine-tuning even after it becomes law. All through the book of Numbers, we have seen examples, these two being our most recent, of how the Torah sets the stage for processes of change, showing us that even within the Torah itself, even when God's self is the lawmaker, lawmaking is an inexact science, requiring flexibility to change as issues arise and society evolves. The custom when Jews complete reading a book of Torah is to recite the phrase Chazak Chazak Venit Chazek, be strong, and let us strengthen one another. The phrase seems especially appropriate here at the end of our study of Bamidbar, as we have in these past 9 weeks singled out so many characters in this extraordinary book of Torah. God, Moses, Miriam, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, Balaam's she-donkey, Mala, Noah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half Manasseh, among others, whose character, beliefs, and actions have encouraged, strengthened, and emboldened our own. Rabbi Lisa Edwards, Ph.D., is the leader of Beth Chaim Chadashim in Los Angeles, founded in 1972 as the world's first lesbian and gay synagogue. Today, BCC is an inclusive community of progressive lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and heterosexual Jews and their families and friends. Rabbi Edwards' writing appears in books including Kulanu, All of Us, a URJ Handbook for Congregational Inclusion of Gay and Lesbian Jews, and the Torah, a Women's Commentary, published by URJ Press and Women of Reform Judaism.